This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Link. Good morning and welcome to Asia Pacific Currents this bright Saturday, the 5th of October morning here on Community Radio 3CR. I'm Giselle Hannah.
I'm Diana Bowen. I didn't notice the bright weather, but clearly Giselle's feeling bright this morning in her bright pink scarf.
It's going to be 25. I'm holding out.
That's right. Well, I hope we keep your spirits bright this morning with a mix of stories about wins and points of concern from the Labor movement.
Very tactful.
In the Asia Pacific region, as usual, here on Asia Pacific Currents. And after our normal news roundup, we'll bring you an interview live this morning with Len Cooper, the Secretary of the Communication Workers Union, who recently went on a solidarity visit to the Philippines. And he's going to bring us news of activism in the labour movement and other social justice movements from around the Asia Pacific. That coming up at 9:15 this morning.
Of course, Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links, and you can find us on the web or the www.aawl.org.au. You can write to us at aawl@aawl.org.au. You can ring us on 9663 7277. They are all the ways to get in touch with us. Of course, you can like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Time now for news from around the region. On the 26th and 27th of September, the NGO organisation Shipbreaking Platform participated in the 8th Annual Ship Recycling Conference, which is an industry event held in London every year. Of course, this story picks up on a number of stories we've brought you over, in fact, a number of years, about the dangers in the shipbreaking industry. An array of speakers shared their expertise on clean and safe ship recycling and presented solutions for ensuring, for instance, proper inventories of hazardous materials or safe asbestos removal. Despite the expertise available, the conditions on the ground, however, have not yet changed substantially, and a vast majority of end-of-life vessels are still broken without the necessary precautions for workers in the environment. And of course, the stories we've brought you have shown just how hazardous that is, with a number of deaths in that industry. Ship owners, cash buyers, and yard owners all make profits at the expense of the health and lives of workers, the environment, and the livelihoods of the surrounding communities. Whilst the ship owners expressed unwillingness to reduce their profit margins so that money can be invested in proper, safe recycling and hazardous waste management practices, all industry stakeholders seem confident that the market will provide for gradual improvements of ship recycling practices. Major cash buyer GMS, however, informed the conference that only a measly 1% of the ship owners asked for safe and green recycling. So I think that points to really the only way to accomplish health and safety in the shipbreaking industry is through union organising or workers organising and fighting for those conditions and health and safety at work.
And after promising you a bright show in our introduction, I was flipping through the news items, trying to find a good news story for this week, but unfortunately I haven't succeeded. It's been a week of struggle across the Asia Pacific, and they are all news items about campaigns for workers who are either, you know, being persecuted or are still in the middle of struggle. And one of those examples is from China this week, where Wu Guizhun, a migrant worker employed for 9 years making furniture at the Diwan Liwei Xin product factory in Shenzhen, has been detained since the 23rd of May and faces criminal prosecution for defending the rights of his co-workers. Since his arrest, Wu has been denied contact with his family. Workers at this factory, which is owned by Hong Kong capitalists, sought negotiations earlier this year in response to concerns about production cutbacks and apparent preparations to relocate the factory to another site in inland China, which is where costs are a lot lower. Seven workers were elected to represent the group, including Wu, but the employer refused to disclose any information and rejected negotiations. In response, workers downed tools and went on strike on the 7th of May and petitioned the local government to intervene. But on the 23rd of May, 300 workers were besieged by the police while they were marching to the city government with their petition. More than 20 workers were arrested and detained, including Wu Guizhun. All of them were released, but Wu is still in detention, and he's facing criminal prosecution for assembling a crowd to disturb social order, which is one of the charges that the Chinese government often uses to go after labour activists. Workers in China who organise in defence of their interests, go on strike or even petition to the government are often fired, criminalised and arbitrarily detained in, quote, black jails, which are outside the legal framework, or they can be sentenced to prison labour. So there is a campaign for Wu's release, which is being supported by the International Union of Food Workers. And for more information, you can go to their website, iuf.org.
We have an update on the health and safety campaign at Samsung Electronics in South Korea. Min Byun, which is Lawyers for a Democratic Society, filed allegation letters with the special producers of Human Rights Council of the UN on the 25th of September, seeking intervention in Samsung Electronics Company Limited and the South Korean government's inaction toward the deadly occupational disease cluster at the world's largest chip maker. In three separate letters, drawing on data provided by SHARPS, and SHARPS stands for Supporters for the Health and Rights of People in the Semiconductor Industry, Min Byun enumerated concerns about the disease cluster, ranging from consistent failures by Samsung to protect employees from hazardous chemicals to time-consuming and costly regulatory loopholes that help financially ruin the victims and their families. The activist lawyers raised concerns about shortcomings of Korean Workers' Compensation and Welfare Service, which is K-Comwell, the quasi-government entity responsible for workers' compensation. And like many bureaucracies, when workers lodge applications with this service, the K-Comwell, things get lost in a bureaucratic minefield and rarely are their claims successful. As of March 2012, SHARPS has profiled 155 workers who contracted various forms of leukemia, multiple sclerosis and aplastic anemia after employment in the electronics industry in South Korea. As of June 2, 2012, 63 of the 155 workers have died. The majority of the workers, 138 of them, were employed at Samsung Electronics, Samsung Electromechanics, and Samsung SDS, the three electronics affiliates of the Samsung Group, the country's largest conglomerate. Among the 63 deaths, 56 were Samsung employees.
And now we go to Palestine, where there is a renewed call to free Ahmad Sadat, who's been in prison for 11 years. Ahmad Sadat was a parliamentarian and general secretary of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and he's been held in Israeli jails since the 15th of March 2006. Before that time, he was held in Palestinian Authority jails under US and British Guard since January 2002. Sadat spent over 3 years in isolation until the prisoners' achievements in the Karameh mass hunger strike of thousands of Palestinian prisoners in April and May 2012. This year, from October 17th to 24th, workers and activists right across the world will stand for freedom for Ahmad Sadat and the 5,200 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. These activists will be demanding their release and will make it clear that they've not been forgotten by comrades around the world.
And a brief update. This is the, I think, the one and only good news story. On World Tourism Day, which was the 27th of September, unions in South Korea rallied in defence of worker and trade union rights in Fiji. So a very pronounced episode of international solidarity. And they also denounced a military dictatorship in Fiji. Several IUF affiliates, including, so brace yourselves, listeners, for a long list of unions now, it included the Korean Federation of Private Service Workers Union, the Coca-Cola Beverage Company North Labour Union, the Nestle Korea Labour Union, and the KCTWU Dongsu Food Union Chapter and Oriental Breweries Union Chapter all rallied to demand the restoration of human rights in Fiji and respect for trade union rights, including the right of the Fiji Sugar and General Workers Union members to strike. And of course, we've been bringing you that story about the sugar workers in Fiji. So extraordinary that South Korean workers went on strike for their comrades in Fiji.
And now we have a news story about a multinational company, Crown Holdings, which is one of the biggest metal container companies in the world, producing cans for beverage and food products in 149 countries. Despite almost doubling profits in 2012, the company prefers to race for bigger profits at any cost, including at the expense of its own workers who build its wealth. And in Turkey, Crown Holdings is conducting a clear union-busting campaign against workers who are members of the industrial affiliate Birleşik Metal İş at its Turkish operations since early 2012. After many difficulties in the recruitment period, the union, in November 2012, managed to obtain a collective bargaining certificate from the Ministry of Labour, confirming that it's eligible to be party for negotiations. However, as widely used tactics by employers in Turkey in order to destroy union organising go, Crown Holdings immediately challenged the certification at the local labour court for stalling the process. So here we have an enormous multinational company unwilling to negotiate with its workers in Turkey. Recently, this company has also imposed an unfair agreement on its workers in Toronto in Canada. And so Industriol, the Global Union Federation, and its affiliates in North America and Turkey are campaigning to stop this multinational Crown Holdings attacking its workers around the world.
Again, it's an example of linking the struggles. So you've got one employer, and although they've got sites right across the world, it's one it's basically one struggle. So very, very inspiring to see that. That's all for news from around the region. We're going to go to some community announcements now, and we'll return with Len Cooper.
Join the Global March Against Monsanto on Saturday, October the 12th. Melbourne March meets at State Library at 2 p.m, marching down Swanston Street and ending at GM-free Fiesta at Riverside Quay, South Bank. Music from Heaps Tough, speakers on GM Wheat, chemical-free streets and playgrounds, GM Freeze and more. Kids activities and GM-free food. Join via Facebook, March Against Monsanto Melbourne, or email marchagainstmonsantomelbourne@gmail.com. Call 0407 307 231 for more information. March Against Monsanto is a 3CR supporter.
Australians love their digital equipment, and that's all fine and good because it increases our quality of life, but we need to think more carefully about what we're doing when we're finished with it. E-waste is growing at 3 times the rate of other municipal waste.
3CR Community Radio is dedicated to exploring the issues that affect our future because I think it is something we just need to be talking about.
8:55 AM. Tune in and listen up.
Oh no. Freeze, fellas, you're under arrest.
What do I do?
Call a lawyer.
Hello, Fitzroy Legal Service. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you are arrested, you should make a no-comment interview.
A no-comment interview?
Yeah.
Well, how do I do that?
You say...
No comment!
To everything?
Yes, except your name and address. Every other question you should answer with no comment.
So if he asks me what colour my shoes are, I say no comment?
Yes, you say...
No comment!
To everything?
Yes, say...
No comment!
If you are arrested, exercise your right to contact a lawyer and say no comment.
Envious of the rich and powerful? Listen to 3CR. Well, this is your chance to get one back. Get a legal, legitimate tax deduction by donating to the 3CR Radiophone now. 9419 8377.
Even though Radiothon's over, you can, of course, donate to 3CR at any time of the year. You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents here on 3CR 855 AM, or on the internet if you're streaming live. And just a reminder that you can catch up on Asia Pacific Currents via podcast or via our new audio on demand function on the website 3cr.org.au. Now, this morning on Asia Pacific Currents, we've got an interview with Len Cooper, who's the Secretary of the Communication Workers Union here in Victoria, but he's just come back from a solidarity visit to the Philippines, where he attended a number of conferences and political events, including conferences on union rights and collective bargaining, on freedom of association, on the pivot to Asia by US imperialism, and he also attended a rally on the day of the president's speech to the nation, and he's going to give us a roundup of that very wide variety of political activities that he was able to attend in the Philippines. Len, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
All right, so can you start by telling us about the situation for labour activists in the Philippines? I mean, in the Philippines, unionists, journalists and other activists are killed all the time with impunity. And, I mean, just this week on the 1st of October, Julito Moneva, who's a labour union official at the Carmen Copper Corporation, was shot on his motorcycle on his way home from work. And in July this year, two transport union leaders were killed, Antonio Dodong Pelicoran in Davao City and Kagi Almundin Lusman in Cotabato City. Len, based on what you heard during your solidarity visit to the Philippines, how have the number and the frequency of assassinations changed under the current Aquino government compared to past regimes?
Yes, it's an important question because, in effect, it was the central reason for the calling of the conferences that you've mentioned in Manila. Is the human rights situation in the Philippines is deteriorating very quickly. The current president, who came elected to office on all the promises of how good he was going to be in terms of human rights, has been really very much like the previous president, so that the killings, as you say, the kidnappings, the disappearances, the killings, the torture, and the oppression is continuing to this day. And the conferences were called to deal not only with that in the Philippines sense, but certainly to concentrate on that, but to recognise that many of these things are happening in a number of countries of the world, not just in the Philippines.
And can you tell us about the stories from delegates from other parts of the world about human rights abuses committed against union activists and workers?
Yes, certainly. Well, just, essentially the resisting repression and reclaiming rights was an international conference about freedom of association, because in the, what's happening, as you know, most countries of the world have made some formal commitment to the United Nations policies on human rights and freedom of association and so on, but in most cases, if not in many, at least, the commitment to those is only public relations exercise, that in effect the same governments that are committed to these supposedly are the ones that are actually breaching them the worst. So I think the issue here was, particularly in regard to the Workers' Rights Conference, was to really mobilise an international campaign across the globe, exposing this breach of the actual commitments, that is, to exposing the fact that they're breaching these commitments when they've actually endorsed them as a formal position, as a PR exercise. So to use the international benchmarks to expose how bad things are, that was a central reason for calling at least the Workers' Rights Conference. But then, as you say, the whole question of human rights, workers' rights, given the crisis of global capitalism, is getting worse and worse because governments of the world, where they can get away with it, are oppressing workers, they're oppressing protesters. In fact, one of the big issues that came up at the Human Rights Conference was what's happening in Mindanao in the Philippines, where Australian mining companies and Canadian mining companies, US mining companies, are operating there, and having a terrible impact on the environment. They're really destroying the environment, doing things they would never do in this country, for instance, but they're doing them there. And the protesters that are trying to protect the environment and protect their land from being forcibly taken over are actually being, as we've said before, kidnapped, tortured, killed. And basically, the Philippines military, with the backing of the US military, are the ones that are performing these acts of bastardry on human rights and so on.
Another assault on human rights around the world is coming in the form of free trade, so-called free trade, and the institutions that push that on the third world, such as the World Trade Organization. Yeah. And the World Trade Organization will hold its ninth ministerial conference in Bali in December this year.
That's right.
How are anti-free trade activists planning to respond?
Okay, well, one of the central issues at these conferences in July that I mentioned was to mobilise support for the Indonesian people's mobilisation. And what's happening is that the Indonesian people in March formed what they called the Indonesian People's Alliance, IPA, and that's made up of a whole network of students, academics, workers, peasants, farmers. And they're mobilising on that very thing you mentioned, is the fact that the World Trade Organization's ministers from all the countries involved are meeting in Bali in December, early December, and this is an attempt to finally achieve their goals in terms of the World Trade Organization, and particularly the free trade attempt to get the free trade agreement up between Australia and the Asia, or like most of the nations of the Asia Pacific, actually. So the Indonesian people are mobilizing against it, and they're hoping for a lot of support from fair trade people in Australia, in New Zealand, and in Oceania generally. So that publicity is just starting to come out now, and the big demonstrations and rallies and conferences will be early December, around about the 3rd and the 4th of December, but there'll be plenty of publicity coming out on that from now on.
Do you expect that this WTO ministerial conference will differ from the last one in Hong Kong in 2005, given the emergence of the relatively strong BRIC countries, that being Brazil, Russia, India and China, and the fact that a Brazilian is now Director General of the WTO?
Yes, look, I think the hopes of the protesters and the opponents of the free trade, so-called free trade agenda, I think that their hope is, that they can stop any further momentum to get the FTTA up or any other free trade deal. As you know, for the authorities, they've been bogging down in a lot of opposition since the Doha round, and I guess what the demonstrators are hoping, the Indonesians are hoping, is that they can kill off any further momentum in regards to more free trade deals. So, and obviously the ministers will be hoping that this is the, well, they are declaring that, that they're hoping that they want this to be the way to clear the decks for what they want to achieve here in their terrible so-called free trade treaties, which just crushes the independence and sovereignty of most nations. So I think it is different in that sense, in the sense that this is fairly seen as a fairly crucial meeting for both the opponents as well as the governments.
But what's the alternative to the neoliberal free trade agenda that's put forward by the WTO? I mean, there have been various regional attempts to establish trade networks that put people before profit, such as the People's Trade Agreement amongst ALBA countries, that being eight left-wing Caribbean and Central American countries led by Venezuela. Was there any discussion of different models of regional trade cooperation at the meetings that, that you were at? Or, I mean, if you can't comment about ALBA specifically, you know, what alternative models do you know of to the WTO?
Yes, well, there was quite a bit of discussion about it, and there's some, you know, clearly there are, there's widespread support for a broad agenda, which is about fair trade, not so-called free trade. And so that would mean, of course, that the whole thing would be, all of the agenda would be people-oriented, not profit-oriented. Now, I think that's certainly the direction that's still being fought for. And I think people are fairly encouraged that, because of the differences that have grown up between countries and governments over the, particularly the US agenda for so-called free trade, I think people are encouraged that they've been able to halt some of the momentum until now, and they're hoping to continue that success. Now, as you say, then they'll need, if they are successful, they'll need to start to push much more firmly for a people's trade system rather than one based on the international monopolies.
We're speaking to Len Cooper, Secretary of the Communication Workers Union, about his recent solidarity visit to the Philippines, where he attended several international conferences. Len, after your trip to the Philippines, what work do you think needs to be done here in Australia?
Yes, and that's obviously the most important question of the lot, because when we were there, we met with a lot of people struggling in places like Mindanao, and they demonstrated the urgency of international support because of the killings and the disappearances and the torture and so on. So one of the things that we've been discussing since we got back, when I say we, you know, amongst some of the unions that are sympathetic to the movement there, and amongst some of the community organisations, we believe that probably what is urgent is to establish, for want of a better name, an Australian human rights network. The vision there would be to draw together prominent individuals and organisations and have them in a network which can move quickly to put pressure on governments, Australian government, other governments that are breaching the human rights laws and so on, to act and move a lot of people to act quickly to put pressure on. So I think that that is an idea that's getting some support, and I think we need to keep moving on that for sure. And I guess linked to that, in a sense, is this question of international mobilisation on the whole question of the freedom of association, the right to strike, the right to assemble, the right to take political action, and to use the international benchmarks as a beacon to demonstrate to the people in various countries, including Australia, that you know, their governments are not meeting their commitments. Now, of course, in Australia, we can see already with the election of the Liberal government, they're now, one of the things they're moving on is to make it illegal to boycott as part of a protest about the way governments are behaving. Now, there is a clear breach of human rights here, which needs to be universally condemned. So there's a lot of work to be done, not just in other countries, although that's more urgent than ours, but in Australia as well.
Len Cooper, Secretary of the Communication Workers Union, thanks so much for joining us this morning for that update.
Been a pleasure.
You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents here on 3CR Community Radio, and over the coming weeks and months, we'll try to bring you more updates about those campaigns against the World Trade Organization meeting in Bali in December, and also human rights and union struggles in the Philippines and elsewhere in the Asia Pacific. But that's all we've got time for this morning. It's 9:30, and that's it from me, Diana Beaumont.
And me, Giselle Hannah.
But did you have a couple of announcements you wanted to squeeze in?
I thought we were going, Diana.
Very quickly.
Okay, a couple of announcements. Anti-Poverty Week rally for cleaners. Just very briefly, this is a United Voice campaign and a rally. It's on Thursday, the 17th of October at 12 o'clock at the State Library. And, of course, don't forget AAWL's Open Day, Saturday the 19th of October at the Fitzroy Library, which is in Moore Street in Fitzroy.
But that's it for us on Asia Pacific Currents. Stay tuned for a repeat of Accent of Women.